Welcome to Business Beyond Borders, the go-to podcast for CPA firms seeking transformative insights. I'm your host, Lawrence Whittam, and with each episode, we'll uncover key insights, best practices, and invaluable resources tailored for CPAs. From trending strategies to diving deep into outsourcing and offshoring, our experts will help in all areas of your business. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Business Beyond Borders. I'm here today with Rory Henry, a good friend of mine that, again, met in the middle of last year. He brought me on his podcast, so I'm returning the favor now. And again, his is a little bit more popular than mine, but we'll see.
I see you on social media now, Lawrence. You're taking the world by storm.
We're gonna get up there. We'll compare numbers one day, but not for a while, well. I think. We're going to discuss a little bit on, again, the opinion from Rory's side of, again, the industry. He works with a lot of accountants as well, but also going into a little bit about just the wealth management side, what firms can do differently to also make things a bit more interesting in a firm, and make it so that you can potentially attract more talent and also have higher margins and run better as a business if you're looking into this area as well. So Rory, do you want to give a bit of a background about yourself, who you are, what you do? That would be great for the audience.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Lawrence, for bringing me on your show. I appreciate it. I'm a big fan of your work. As you mentioned, I have been working in the accounting profession for a number of years, actually 15 plus. The last 3 years, I have developed some thought leadership, which is teaching accounting firm CPAs on how to integrate holistic wealth management services into their practice. I work at a family office, and we are a family office, Lawrence, in the sense that we have multiple families that we work with, as well as we're a wealth management firm. So we deal with a spectrum of clients, from the high net worth to the mass affluent to the everyday client, the construction worker, the nurse, the teacher, the small business owner. In our program, we work with accounting firms looking to really integrate these services to truly provide holistic advice to their clients. I have a podcast, as you mentioned, and I'm coming out with a book here shortly, which is The Holistic Guide to Wealth Management for Accounting Professionals. And I'm big into behavioral finance, which we can talk about later on the recording here.
Yeah, and I think just that everybody knows as well, because I think it's one of those areas when the words family office comes out, and I think a lot of firms, CPA firms in general, like find themselves that they do end up getting some quite affluent clients. And when you were talking about a multifamily office like yours, right?
Yes.
Typically, you're not just dealing with the multi-billionaires and billionaires and hundreds right? of millionaires and stuff like
right.
that. It's about bringing it sort of down the totem pole, essentially, as well, to the people that are well off, right? They're business owners. They're doing different things. They understand their time is worth more money than necessarily dealing with certain things. And this is an avenue firms can take quite easily to take a next step in providing additional client value, right?
Correct.
From my understanding.
Yes. So, well, just kind of define a couple of terms here. A family office, when most people hear family office, they think of what you probably just said, Lawrence, the $100 million family, the Jeff Bezos, the Rockefellers of the world, where historically that's where family offices really developed. They were a way for a family to run their businesses, run their personal finances. They'd have a CPA, an attorney, a financial advisor, right? There'd be the lending element to it. Nowadays, many family offices are what's called multifamily offices. So we deal with many families. We use the family office concept really because we manage the finances of the people here at Arrowroot. We're employee owned. More importantly, it's really a concept that takes on the holistic nature of working with clients. So we don't just work with their tax or accounting needs for their businesses. We help them with their financial planning, with their wealth management, with their insurance needs, making sure they have an estate plan. As we can talk about probably later in the recording, 60% of the population doesn't have an estate plan. There's great solutions out there to provide some tech-enabled ways for people to actually care for their family in case of any unforeseen circumstances. It's looking at the holistic nature of a client's financial life, making sure that we can bridge generations as well. So it's connecting these these professions, the wealth management profession, the accounting profession, and technically the estate planning profession as well, to ensure that a client has the optimal advice, because one decision really affects the other, Lawrence. Their investments are affected by taxes, right? Everybody's got an insurance component to it. People should make sure that they have a will in case of anything happening to their family.
Now, when we're talking a little bit, because you speak a lot to other professionals in this industry specifically, and again, you're in the know-how from that perspective. So, so what do you see, let's say, outside of the wealth management, right? Right now, we're looking at the firms themselves, right? Yes. And obviously, one of the big topics is this, the staffing side of things. So what I want to just ask, I mean, from your opinion and from other people's opinions, maybe that you've talked to on your show, like, what are you seeing happening right now with the staffing side in the accounting industry? And also, like, what are some ways that you see firms can quite easily change what they're doing to make it more of an attractive profession?
Yeah. I've stated in the podcast, I've talked to so many of the thought leaders in accounting, Lawrence, and about, obviously, the staffing problem is the number one issue that is plaguing the profession. And I say the profession has a branding issue. And there's two things, I think, when people hear accountant and a financial advisor. When they hear accountant, they think of bean counter. When they hear financial advisor, they think stock picker. You and I know that can't be furthest from the actual truth, right?
Yeah.
We're strategic advisors. We're helping people make many times decisions with regard to complex business and personal matters. We are that guide. I love the work that Ron Baker does when he talks about, we really need to go from being the trusted professional to that transformational professional. I love the book, The Experience Economy, where we talk about going from delivering services to staging experiences and then guiding transformation. I always say that we shouldn't be a servant to a particular service. We should be a service to that relationship. And CPAs, accounting professionals, are uniquely positioned to really quarterback the financial lives of not only a business, but of a family, to ensure that, like I said, that there is insurance put in place, whether it's business insurance or personal insurance, way of making sure that there's an estate plan put in place, or there's a financial plan for that business. They have the ability to go in there and connect those dots. The person or that business owner shouldn't be the one that's pulling in these professional service providers and trying to play that game of telephone. It just doesn't work. Technology is advancing far enough for us to be able to really connect these in an authentic and holistic way. So I think the profession is poised. I see it's a golden age. I talked to Phil Whitman. I've talked to Alan Colton. This is the golden age of the profession. I have a chapter in my book with Phil, with Alan, with Randy Crabtree, talking about private equity coming into the profession. Lawrence, you know this. They're not dumb. They're called smart money for a reason, right? They see the opportunity to not only sell to small and medium-sized businesses, but sell to and through those small and medium-sized businesses. I call it the financial flywheel. So not just tax and accounting and business advisory, but that, like I said, that insurance component, the cybersecurity, the HR, the payroll, these things can all be integrated, and you start that financial flywheel, it gets faster and faster. So I think to the answer to your question, Lawrence, being we have to talk to the public out there and say that we are so much more than just that compliance work professional. We're helping transform lives. We're helping people change their lives through advising their businesses, right? We're helping people grow their personal finances. So I think it's that ability to communicate that offering to that younger generation, maybe of talent that we're trying to attract, that we are transformational, that we are changing lives.
And I think it's a great point of the, We need to, as businesses and as the firms, actually talk about it and actually do it as well. It doesn't need to be. I think previously, a lot of firms would think that you have to be quite a sizable entity in order to do a lot of these and explore doing cybersecurity, doing wealth management, doing these different avenues. But like you say, I mean, there's the private equity are buying up a lot of firms. They're coming in, they're actually implementing all these things very, very quickly, right? But also, like, small firms have an opportunity to actually partner up with people like yourselves, with wealth managers, with cyber companies, like doing different things. And they have very good partnerships in place where it's, they're not solely relying on you to know everything. It's now bringing all the minds to the table, right? And make it, because business decisions, personal decisions, they're getting more and more complex as well, right? You've got to think about it from a legal aspect. You've got to think about some of these things from the finance, but also from the compliance, the cyber aspect, and all these types of things. Like, so you've got to just bring everyone to the table, like, to make sure that you have the right decision at the end of the day. So, so it's very important. So when we're discussing about this, let's say the ease of entry for now smaller firms as well into this area, let's talk about the wealth management, right? Working with somebody like yourselves, like, what should they be looking into, right? Just to even put their foot in the door, what do they need to not be scared of anymore as to, oh, is this going to be too much time for me or whatever? Like, tell us how that looks.
Well, I already say you already have most of the data from that client. You're, you know, a couple more questions away from really having most of that information we would need to do a holistic financial plan. And so you have that information already. You have what most people are trying to get to, which is the trust of the client. There's a Vanguard study. I have a chapter in my book here, Lawrence, with the higher ups at Vanguard, where he talked about they have the three components of trust. Now, this is a wealth management setting, so it's maybe a little different on the accounting side, but they see that there's three components of trust. There is functional trust, like you're going to do what you're saying you're going to do. There's ethical trust, like obviously ethical trust being, you know, you do things ethically. And then there's emotional trust. So the functional trust is 30%. The ethical trust is 17%. It is the emotional trust, which is 53%, which they say is the biggest component in when it comes to working with clients. And so CPAs, accounting professionals out there, they have the ethical, the functional trust. I think we need to work on maybe the emotional trust. And I think the way that we can do that, we have a methodology that we use using behavioral finance, or what we call a human first approach, is going from being that answer person and showing your knowledge, which we all do it. Hey, look, Lawrence, I do the same thing, right? I've acquired knowledge over the years. I know financial planning. I've been in the tax business for, you know, over 15 years. I want to show my knowledge. And the key thing is to really dive deeper and ask questions. There's a great book by Michael Bungay Sanger. It's called The Coaching Habit. And he talks about how we all need to tame our inner advice monster, because we want to tell it. We want to show everybody our expertise, right? Or we want to save someone. We see the problem, like, oh, we want to save them. Or we want to control it because we have issues with control. Many people just want to control things. But the beauty and the way we can get to those transformations here, Lawrence, is by asking those questions. So not being the advice monster, being that question monster or the curiosity monster to dive deeper, because many times people have service level problems. They come to us, what entities should I select, right? You know, what can I do to save my taxes? You know, how do I save for retirement? I always say it's the how do I and what if questions are the surface level questions they come to us for. But when we can go deeper and uncover really what matters most to them in life, this is this human first approach, by looking beyond the numbers, beyond the taxes, beyond the investments, beyond the debits and credits, and finding out why they have that business. Do they want an IPO? Do they want a lifestyle business? Like, what got them to that point? Then we can be able to craft solutions, become that architect to help them get to where they want to go in life, because every client is different. They may have similar businesses, but two business owners can be drastically different on what they want out of life, those hopes and those dreams. I forgot what the question was.
rants. No. But this is
How do they get started, right?
correct. Well, how do they get started? But from where you were going, right, with this as well, is you've covered a lot of areas, and again, as an individual, right, like you said, our mindsets go in one direction. And typically we want to give the answer, right? And I can say so in my case as well, like I want to give the answer. I hear it, but we need to expand on that a little bit, right? And ask more questions to really understand the why they actually want that answer. And it could change based on whatever their future goals are and everything. So how does somebody get started along this line? Yes. But also, like, how are you going to help make that not so complicated for them to really have to change it themselves in that point as well?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for getting me back on track, Lawrence. I can veer off. I think the key thing is to work it on yourself. Do the self-assessment. Put yourself through a financial plan. There's great solutions out there we use. Or, you know, I work with CPAs and we'll do a financial plan with them. And they'll see it. They'll then go experience it themselves. They go, I see now how I can apply this with all my clients, right? At least my top clients, and the value of doing a holistic financial plan. And I would say the other avenue I would do, so not just a financial plan, it is a great tool. And I'm a big believer in it. It's what really got me into this family office or this virtual family office offering, Lawrence, is doing an estate plan. Start from the end, and then we can reverse engineer. An estate plan covers, obviously, the assets, all the liabilities. It can connect generations, and it's a service that allows you to provide a family office level of care. There's a great solution out there. You can do a will for as little as, like, I think, $180. It's called Trust and Will. You can do a trust for as little as, I think, $599. So doing an estate plan on yourself, like I said, 60% of the population doesn't have an estate plan, is a way for you to start that holistic journey to start offering wealth management. When I say holistic, that's why I named the book Holistic, Lawrence, because it's so much more than just investments or wealth. I always say it's advice beyond investments or advice beyond wealth management. It's really looking at your whole financial plan, your businesses, right? Your business. It looks at, you know, your retirement. It looks at what your risk is as far as insurance goes. And so it goes beyond those investments or picking a stock or picking a portfolio. It goes into really where you want to go in your life. What do you want to have down the line? And then you can start helping yourself make better decisions in the here and now to start making those goals a possibility in the future. So simply put, I would do an estate plan or financial plan myself, right? I would. Yep. You could obviously contact myself and we can work with you and give you some other steps. If you do want to actually get into wealth management, Lawrence, a Series 65 is what we say is best in this day and age where you can advise and get paid on assets under management. It is and a great, I say annuity, but it's really a great revenue stream. It grows over time. It's consistent, right? And everybody has those retirement accounts that you already probably advise on through some tax planning strategies. You're not too far away from being able to start taking on that business line and growing your wealth management practice because you're already doing so much more for those clients. So I always say you're not far away. The Series 65, I just had a CPA pass. She goes, Rory, that wasn't that hard. She only studied for 2 weeks. So it's much, much easier, Lawrence, than the CPA exam.
Now, so what's the entry to this for CPA? Would you advise, like, from that perspective, do you think it's better coming to you and saying, hey, listen, all right, let me do this holistic plan on myself first, right? And then what does the partnership essentially look like after that? If they don't want to necessarily be in the weeds because they're looking to keep growing their accounting firm, right? And it's a smaller entity, but they know they've got a percentage of clients that it would definitely be helpful doing this for, right? What are the options? Can they do a lot? Do they have to do all of it themselves in a sense, other than with some guidance from you guys? Or do you take over a lot of the actual operational side from those perspectives? What do those options look like for them?
Yeah, it's a great question, Lawrence. And it's how involved do you want to be with those clients and with the service offering? So we have firms out there that say, hey, Rory Team Arrowroot. You know, I just had this client and I know they need some work with a financial plan or with wealth management. Can you just handle it? And we handle it, right? And we keep them up to date based on, you know, what the client's wishes are. So we can take over, basically take over all the work. And then we can become more of a partnership type of solution where you could take on more, some of the lighter lifting, maybe do a light financial plan, or maybe take on that financial planning offering. And then we can do the investment management, doing the asset allocation at work. So that's the other option. So it'd be more of a partnership structure. And the third option would be like, you become an investment advisor representative. And you could do that under an Arrowroot umbrella, right? We can do that under us, and we take on over the compliance, obviously, and you're under our umbrella. Or the fourth option would be to actually start your own wealth management firm, become an RIA. And that, for some of those larger firms out there that have the resources, they have aspirations, obviously, to have their own RIA. And then they obviously take on all those assets and the revenue generated from that client.
So what can you tell us about, and again, I'm sure it vastly varies, right, yes, as to what somebody can make from doing it. But let's say, for example, like, what is there in there for a firm? Like, how monetarily beneficial is it to even look into this from, again, roughly, just if they're able to get, is it 10% of their clients you think would be probably eligible from a, let's say, $1 million firm? Roughly, or what's, how many clients do you think this actually works for, number one, out of it? And also, how much are they going to really make from doing it, roughly?
Yeah, that's a good question here, Lawrence. And it does vary.
I'm not going to hold you to anything, right? It's just to give an idea. No, and it does, I like to dig in.
I know it does vary from firm to firm. But I say, moving forward in the future, I think this isn't going to be a nice to have. It's going to be a must have, because you're going to have to build a moat around your offering. As more entrants come into the market, private equity, wealth management firms are coming into the market, buying CPA and accounting firms. They're either going to either partner with it or buy firms, or they're going to just start offering tax preparation as part of their service offering. I really think we're coming to a world where you can have a CPA accounting firm do the attestation work, right? The audit work and the business advisory many times, right? Working with those organizations. And then I think you're going to have either CPA firms that have that wealth management piece, or wealth management firms that have that tax preparation piece that's going to serve the personal financial planning and the tax preparation needs of those clients. So I think it is a way for you to obviously future-proof your business. So that, with that being said, now the economics, right? I think for the higher net worth clients, you're going to want to do this. And for a revenue split, it can be anywhere between 20 to 50, sometimes 70% if you're taking on most of that work, right? Okay. And so if you're a firm that does, I don't know, let's just throw out, this is not investment advice and these aren't numbers you can hold me to, right? For $1 million firm, say you have 10% of your clients, right? On $1 million firm and 10% of your clients, you can probably generate, obviously, tens of millions of dollars in assets under management.
Yeah.
Let's use 50 million. As a number, 50 million in assets under management gets you 500,000 at a 1% AUM, right? Gotcha. And if you're working with a wealth management firm, from there, obviously you can split that, right? If you want to take that on yourself, that business line, that $500,000 revenue would be your business line. But I think the key point is, I think firms want to get started now and develop those partnerships, because it doesn't hurt you. It's a value added service, and you have the information sharing between those entities. So you're making sure you can keep on doing your core businesses more efficiently.
Yeah.
So
why not? Not a difficult step to take, right? Yeah. Along this advisory side of it, it creates more stickiness with your clients, right? At the end of the day, like you said, I mean, I've seen firsthand wealth management firms giving tax away, like in terms of, we'll do your tax preparation for you. We're already doing your assets. Like, we're happy to give you the tax, right? I mean, some of the larger RIAs happily do that, right? From that.
And we're seeing the banks get in there and doing that as well. We're seeing the embedding
of the compliance piece is gone, right?
Yeah. And you're seeing like the embedding of tax technology into these financial services institutions. So you're not only dealing with the potential entrance of wealth management firms into the accounting profession, you have the technology piece coming in and potentially taking away that business. We both know Intuit, obviously has the the business filings now capabilities. So we're just seeing this, and I go back to the value of being that center of that relationship. And when you're that center of the relationship and have that that understanding of what the client wants, and you have the high touch points with that client, and you can provide for the many needs of it, you have future proof your business. So you can't, so other entrants won't be able to come in there and take that relationship from you.
So now, what would it look like if I have team, I have employees under me, right? And I personally don't want to take that series test, right? But I can say, hey, does anybody want to be in charge of this area and bring somebody in? Like, what would it look like structurally for us? Do I need to, as the firm owner, have that series 16 test done, or can I have one of my team members? Or
yeah, you could have a team member take it, Lawrence, and they would be the one that the independent contractor agreement would be with, or you can do the independent contractor agreement with another entity outside, which we advise in doing. So you can have someone that works for you take that test. And it's a great way to obviously give them another way. I think that's where the attractiveness of this profession can come from, by being able to think outside the box, be able to provide those other services. And so it's an attractive offering for those firms out there to give another avenue for their employees to start providing another service offering and more value to clients.
So, no, it's very helpful, and appreciate that, Rory. I mean, is there anything that you want to cover in sort of like the final few minutes as to, again, because I know that you guys have a few different offerings internally, right, from the firm side. Again, you've got your multifamily office side of it. You've got your wealth management avenue. You've got a few different areas you're helping firms with. But is there anything you want to summarize just to make sure people know about it coming out of this as well?
We have three offerings that we really break it down into. You can do financial planning, so holistic financial planning for firms out there. We then have the wealth management piece, which investment management and working with clients and in that capacity. So that's really a second offering. And then we do have a third attractive offering for those who do have high net worth, which is our outsourced family office offering. And that's dealing with clients, let's say 20 million in assets and above. And it's that concierge service, providing governance, right? Working between generation one, generation two, and generation three. So making sure that everybody's on the same page. So we do work with those families, those high net worth families. So those are really the three service offerings that we can work with firms out there and their clients to really provide a truly holistic offering that works in tandem with these people, with these clients' businesses, as well as their families.
Perfect. No, I appreciate it, Rory. No, and again, I think it's just one of those areas that firms need to understand that firms are becoming more and more of like somewhat of a one-stop shop solution, right? And again, there are some providers that don't want to do that, right? They want to stay in their lane and do specifically compliance work or whatever the case is. But again, that's going away, right? With automation and also just with the interest of the profession, I think it's one of those things we need to be doing more and more different things in firms to attract talent from other areas of the profession. Right. It doesn't need to necessarily just be, some people aren't interested in staying in accounting or tax. Right. And they like the advisory portion of things, and they like to look at the wealth management and the family office style of work and all these different areas. So the more we can do, the more we can actually like help with the staffing problems we're having by actually bringing in revenue streams from other areas, right, that are very complementary and very easy to add in, I think is the big sort of takeaway from this, from my understanding. So
yeah, I mean, from a perspective of branding and how we can attract that talent, I've said it many times on our podcast, and I've heard guests talk about it too, is like, we're really coming to the point where we're mini McKinsey's and Bain's. Like, the accounting profession has those capabilities that Bain and McKinsey would have in the 80s and 90s, right? With like 100 analysts. We have that in the form of software now. We're really consultants or strategic advisors helping grow these small and medium-sized businesses. And doing the wealth management piece is just taking that personal financial statement piece of it, right? Yeah. Having a personal financial statement is no different than a financial statement for businesses. It's just looking at that individual, their family. And that's why I love the human-centered advice, because it really dives down into what that individual wants or what's good for that family. So we can help make sure that they're protected and then help them grow their personal finances. So it's just a wonderful profession, I believe, to be in right now. There's so much opportunity out there. That's why I love the work that you're doing, Lawrence, because you're giving those firms out there the ability to now serve those higher net worth clients or serve those businesses to help those businesses grow. So I just absolutely love what you're doing over there and the work at C-Suite Impact.
Thanks, Rory. And if anybody wants to reach out, again, Rory's details will be below. He's got his podcast, but look up AFO Wealth Management, look up Arrowroot Family Office. Again, he's more than happy to have a conversation around it. At the end of the day, it's finding the right fit firms to work with as well, right? Because we all need to make sure that we're doing it out of the best interest of who we are as well. And some people aren't ready to do it, right? So it's about planning and getting your information firsthand. So, and I also managed to get some of the financial areas out of you as well. So I'll take that as a win on my hat. So let's do this. Let's wrap up here. And again, appreciate everybody joining and look forward to seeing you all on the next episode of Business Beyond Borders. Thank you.
Thanks, Lawrence.
Thank you for tuning in to Business Beyond Borders. I'm Lawrence Whittam, and it's been a pleasure bringing you impactful insights tailored for the modern CPA firm. Remember, the world of accounting is vast and ever-evolving, and we're here to navigate it together. For more resources and episodes, don't forget to subscribe and reach out to our experts. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries of your business and explore the limitless possibilities beyond borders.